Ever catch yourself eating the same flavorless dinner 3 days in a row? Dreaming of something better? Well, HelloFresh is your guilt-free dream come true, baby. It's me, Keke Palmer. Let's wake up those taste buds with hot, juicy pecan-crusted chicken or garlic butter shrimp scampi. Mm. Hello Fresh. Stop dreaming of all the delicious possibilities and dig in at HelloFresh.com. Let's get this dinner party started.
Here's a cool fact. A crocodile can't stick out its tongue. Another cool fact, you can get short-term health insurance for a month or just under a year in some states. UnitedHealthcare short-term insurance plans are designed for people who are between jobs, coming off their parents' plan, or turning a side hustle into a full-time gig. Underwritten by Golden Rule Insurance Company, they offer flexible, budget-friendly coverage with access to a nationwide network of doctors and hospitals. Get more cool facts about UnitedHealthcare short-term plans at uh1.com.
Welcome to the Insomnia Project. Sit back, relax, and listen as we have a calm conversation about the mundane. Topics that we come up with, if you have one, just send it to our Twitter account or Instagram and we'll be happy to consider it as one of the topics for our shows. Mm-hmm. I'm Marco Timpano. Thank you for joining us.
I'm Amanda Barker.
Amanda, welcome to the show.
Thank you for having me back, as always.
We talked about doing the cranberry bog on our last episode.
We did? I don't even remember it. I'm sure we did. I'm just things going in and out of my brain quickly. Now that you say it, I have like a vague memory of talking about it.
Yeah, because you made me think for a second.
No, you're right. Okay. I mean, this is your show. I just don't, you know, for those who don't know me as well, I worked in radio for 5 years. So every day I didn't remember by the end of the day what I had talked about.
Listen, it's not your job to remember. It's your job to be here and to enjoy the 26 minutes we have.
I always do.
I wanted to talk about fall walks. Mm-hmm. That kind of sort of links us from last week's show.
I don't know if you know this, actually, but I just came from one.
I do.
Oh, okay. You did know that. Okay.
I did know that you came from one because I heard you come into the house. And
okay. But I had told you I was going for a run, but it was actually on a really beautiful trail.
Oh, no, I didn't know this. Okay, yeah. So tell me about this before we get into fall walks.
I mean, I don't have to.
No, I want to, because then we'll just dive deeper.
So what I sort of just discovered, you know, I'm trying to, we're going in, right? Our exploration, you and I are travelers, right?
Right.
We love to travel. We can certainly do a lot of discussions on cities and that type of thing, but you know, for the last little while, our traveling has been inward because that's what's accessible to us. And so, you know, I've been trying my best to explore the area around our home, around our city, just undiscovered terrain. And I finally figured out today a path that I had sort of knew was there but didn't know how to access. Mm-hmm. And I went for a sort of, I would say 30% jog, maybe 40% jog, 50% walk.
So walk jog.
A walk jog, a little half and half.
A wog, if you will.
Mm-hmm. On the path that is also the train tracks near our house.
Oh, did you go on the train tracks?
I did, yeah.
How did you access it?
Okay, so I figured out where to do it. So we have actually two retirement/nursing homes. Near our home. And so it is in the part, there's sort of a little path, and I don't know if this is the official entrance, but the closest to our house that I could find was from the parking lot of one of them.
Okay.
Yeah. So I was sort of running and jogging and walking, like I said, and I thought there's got to be a way to get on to this path. I could see, you know, a woman walking her dog, two runners. And so I found a little sort of indentation in the shrubbery in the bush, and there was a little path up to it.
So it wasn't official. It wasn't an official.
No, it was unofficial. Okay. So I don't know where the official ways to get on. I mean, we can look for that. But
because so you can access that train track to walk on, right?
It's meant to be. There's a path, and that's what I wanted to tell you. There's a path sort of alongside. There's obviously the train tracks, and there were no trains at that moment. But there's also a walking path that is definitely designated for that, with people running and walking on it, and a little footbridge areas of the train bridges themselves to make sure that people are safe as they walk on them. But it really brought back memories of my young adulthood, because I grew up with an old abandoned train bridge in back of my house.
And train tracks too, right?
And train tracks, yeah. After a while, I think they took some of them out and some of them were still there. Mm. The train hadn't run since the 60s.
Right.
Where I grew up, which is in New Brunswick. I did grow up in Massachusetts too, if anyone's been listening. And I moved to New Brunswick when I was 13. And my family lived there until I was, I can't remember when they moved. I think I was into my 30s when they moved from that home. I had since moved to Toronto. But
sure.
Anyway, so my teens and some of my 20s was spent there. And so as a young person, I would, because it was out in the country, I would go and explore the train bridge, which had actually really cool graffiti from the 60s. On it, like stuff that obviously was written during the 60s and 70s.
Cool.
Yeah. That became kind of my place. So it really brought back a lot of memories of fall walks along train tracks.
Now, there's something so lovely about, for me anyways, I don't know how you feel about this, about trains near your home and the sounds of trains going by, the odd whistle or the train on the track. I love it. I know how some people might not, but I do.
I love it as well.
Love that.
I had that, but there was never a train. And then when I went to university, Mount Allison University, the train would come through twice a day. So we would hear it at night, and then passenger trains would. And then,
sure.
Of course, there's cargo. So, and the ones near our house, I should say, are all cargo trains, right?
Mostly, yeah.
I don't think a passenger train uses those tracks.
I think it gets diverted a little bit west of us, the passenger train.
I've never seen a passenger train on those tracks.
No,
yeah.
No. I'm sure they could access it, but it wouldn't take them to anywhere that...
It's not a route that anyone
not a
would
route.
Take.
No.
Not right now, anyway.
You were telling me there's a whole bunch of apple trees along the sides of the train tracks where you grew up.
So what happened was...
Oh, I can't wait to hear this.
I think I told you at one point maybe, but what happened was the train... So I grew up in... I should preface this with the town that was nearest to my home was the town of Woodstock, New Brunswick. And at the turn of the century... And the early 19th century, it was, I think, a town that I think that was its heyday, to be honest. The train went through.
Sure.
It was one of the first English town you would hit from Quebec.
Okay.
In New Brunswick. So it was a gateway for a few different places, a gateway to Fredericton or St. John, gateway to Quebec going the other way.
Right.
It was also, it's right on the border to Maine. So it had a lot of people coming and going through it. And when I lived there, it only had about 5,000 people. So I don't think it ever really fully
flourished
out its
sure.
potential with the advent of cars and so on. But in any event, it was in the early 19th century a place that people would at the very least go through. And so the train tracks were lined with all types of trees, but particularly apple trees. There were tons and tons and tons of apple trees along the tracks, just growing wild. And the reason was because apples were the easiest thing that you could take as a snack on the train.
Sure.
If it was, 1910 or 1920 and you were taking a cross Canada trip, or if you were, an immigrant coming in from Halifax going to Ontario, for example, you would have apples. That's
right.
What you'd feed your kids. That's, you know, that's the perfect snack.
Portable.
Yeah.
Hearty.
Cheap. Yeah.
They're not going to get damaged.
Yeah.
Like, they're not going to be, like, certain fruits like a banana would not be, A, available, but B, would not be conducive to.
Oh, they wouldn't have bananas
right.
back then. No, absolutely. I mean, oranges were considered
a luxury.
Sure. A lot of people would get them only at Christmas, right?
So they would spit the seeds out.
They would throw the cores.
Oh.
They would throw they would spit the seeds out, but more likely they would, when they were done with the apple, they would just throw the apple core out the window.
Right.
And so because of that, those seeds flourished, some of them, and so the tracks are lined with apple trees. There's also, I should say, other fruits there. There's some wild strawberries, a ton of raspberries.
Oh, wow.
Blueberries as well, and actually choke cherries as well.
Not a huge fan of choke cherries.
I like choke cherries.
I know you do.
We can talk more about that if you want. I don't know.
Well, before we go to choke cherries, you had mentioned the retirement community near our house.
Oh, yeah.
That residency, I guess you could mm-hmm. say, residence
mm-hmm.
of retired individuals. Mm. And they do the most beautiful flower garden near the tracks.
Right. So the one, there's two. So
right.
the one on the far end is the one near the tracks.
Right,
but
I
you're
know.
Talking about the one closer to us.
Which you kind of have to go through their little path
mm-hmm.
to get to the other
That's
one.
That's true, actually.
And their path is just lined with the most beautiful flowers that bloom throughout the season.
Mm-hmm.
And right now, there's a ton of moonflowers. Is that what they're called?
Moon lilies.
Moon lilies.
Yeah, they're gorgeous.
And it's just, they just did such a spectacular job. And I can't help but think they brought their old world knowledge or their knowledge from the years on planting and how to make a beautiful garden that I certainly don't possess. And they did such a phenomenal job
there. Well, it's interesting. I mean, you do have people there that lived through World War II.
Sure.
They would have known what a victory garden was and planting victory gardens.
I don't even know what a victory garden is.
I just learned what it was. So
okay.
A victory garden, my understanding was, similar to what a lot of people have tried to do in the past few years, but more reliance on what you can grow at home.
Sure.
So that you're not draining the resources of the country, because back then, you know, they were feeding the troops. They were sending rations and so on to the troops.
So you're talking native species of flowers?
Well, flowers and vegetables.
And vegetables.
And
okay.
fruit, actually.
Okay.
I mean, an apple tree would certainly be part of a victory garden if it was, you know, flowering and bearing fruit. But I just wanted to say that moon lilies, I don't know, there's a few names for them.
Okay.
But the reason they're called moon lilies is because they only open and bloom at night. So they close up during the day. So they're sort of the opposite flower.
Right.
It's like opposite day for them. They're beautiful, long, white kind of trumpet blossoms. And they open at night.
Beautiful.
So they're beautiful at night. And they smell gorgeous.
Oh, I didn't realize they had a scent to them.
Mm-hmm. I think so.
Okay.
Maybe they don't. Maybe I just think they smell gorgeous.
And what were you saying about the Victory Garden?
My understanding was, well, as I just explained, that the Victory Garden was a way for you to not drain the resources of the country. So instead of, going to your local grocer and buying carrots, that you'd grow them at home or whatever. I think that's right.
Sure.
I don't know. Anyway, the point is that the people who inhabit these places near our home would have a lot of gardening knowledge from times when gardening was extraordinarily essential to a country's well-being.
Of course.
And not just a fun hobby in their backyard. Like, it was something very essential to their existence. I should say that we live on a fairly quiet, you know, tree-lined street, but the traffic of the elderly is a real thing.
Meaning?
Walking up and down the street. We have our share of anything, you know, walking aids,
yes.
pins, et cetera.
Sometimes you have to go off the sidewalk because there mm-hmm. is a troop of elderly people with their canes and their walkers
yes.
coming towards you. And
they're so lovely.
They're so lovely.
They're
but they
so,
mean business
so lovely.
When they're walking.
You know,
yeah.
some of them want in on our lilacs
sure.
in the spring.
Yeah, we'll get knocks on the door from some of the people in the residence who just want a clipping of our beautiful lilac tree.
Mm-hmm.
Datura is the common or is the genus of that flower.
And they're called moon lilies?
They're called thorn apples.
Oh.
Jimson weeds. Or Jimson weeds, I should say.
Okay.
Not Jimson, Jimson weeds.
Jimson the weeds.
Devil's trumpets.
Oh.
Moonflower.
Moonflower, maybe that.
Devil's weed.
I've started calling them moon lilies.
And hell's bells.
I think moonflower is what I knew them as, but so though that's a lot of names for one type of species.
And they're poisonous and psychoactive, especially their seeds and flowers.
What does psychoactive mean?
So just be careful because, you know, a psychoactive is a chemical substance that changes the nervous system.
Oh, my.
Yeah. So they're you know, exercise caution. Do not be eating them because they're so pretty. Not that you would eat a flower because it's pretty.
Well, some stick flowers are edible.
Stick to apples.
Or pansies. You can eat a pansy.
So we started this journey because of fall walks. And it's so nice to know there's a beautiful walk by the train track near our home.
And the smell, that smell of trains, which I don't know if it's good for you, but I do love it.
We went on a fall walk with some friends yesterday.
We did,
and
yeah.
That was a gorgeous walk through the city, through a path called the Beltline.
The Kay Gardner Beltline.
Which it's so great to go through this green patch or swath that snakes its way through the city with a whole canopy of trees surrounding you.
We're lucky that we live in a city that has these sort of private little areas to discover that are lush.
But they're open to the public when you say private.
Well, they're private in that there's no houses or they're not owned by anyone.
Right.
I guess. So in other words, they're public.
Right.
But they feel private because you feel like you've discovered them and you have them all to yourself.
So what do you like to see on your fall walk? For me, it's like seeing the notes of fall. So like,
what does that mean?
Colored leaves falling, pumpkins on the side of people's properties.
Okay.
Fall wreaths, which we have to put ours up. I know. Yeah. I just got a bit of a stare from Amanda. After we record this, I'll go into our little nook where we keep our wreaths and
we don't have much room for
seasonal decor for sure.
We don't have much room for it.
No.
Because we've trimmed it down to, like, I used to have Halloween decor, and it just takes up too much space. So it's, our Halloween decor consists of one tiny little light that it projects skeletons onto our door and a wreath. I think that's it.
Yeah.
But I'll get some mums, and we have some pumpkins out there, too.
I think the dancing skeletons are quite charming on our door.
I mean, it's just our little homage to Halloween. I love Halloween so much. So it's our little tribute without, you know, I used to have a 2-foot Dracula. But
right.
Honestly.
Who needs a 2-foot Dracula?
It took up a lot of space.
You know, going trick-or-treating is also a fall walk if you think about it.
It's probably more of a 3-foot Dracula now that I think about
right.
it. Yeah.
Right.
Trick-or-treating is a fall walk of
An
sorts.
An evening fall walk. Do you like going for day walks? Or night walks?
I like both.
Okay.
Yeah. Because what was neat yesterday was we went for a walk around, I think, 5:36.
That's right.
So we got to kind of enjoy the sunset. And as we walked back, it was completely dark. And it was just us on the trail with the crunch of the leaves under our feet. And, you know, we went from a Robert Frost poem to a Stephen King novel all in one walk, which was kind of awesome.
And Jason Bateman? Bateman? The person who paints? It's not Jason Bateman.
Jason Bateman does not paint birds. Well, he might paint birds. Jason Bateman was on Arrested Development.
Right.
Robert Bateman. I'm not sure what the plaque said on the walk. Something about Robert Bateman.
He used to live
off
the Beltline.
Oh, okay. So a lot of the birds he would have painted. He's known for his nature paintings.
Artist who does a lot of birds, a lot of wolves, a lot of wild animals native to North America.
I know him as the Birdman.
Oh, do you?
Yeah. Yeah, but my sister's an artist, so she always refers to him and his bird paintings.
There you go. Mm. That was something we discovered on our walk.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, it's they've done a good job with all the little historical plaques that tell you about things that have happened in that area.
Sure.
I mean, it's neat when you live in a city for 20 years and you discover miles and miles of a path that you've never even experienced before, seen before. Just having something new to explore for yourself is pretty magical.
Sure, sure. I love just wearing a sweater, maybe a scarf, and taking a walk. Maybe, like you said, bring an apple with me and enjoy it along the trail. For me, that's a perfect fall walk. Maybe a bit of cocoa when you come home.
Oh.
Yeah.
Do you cocoa or hot chocolate?
Oh, I think I say hot chocolate.
Canadians usually say hot chocolate and Americans say cocoa.
I'm sure I say hot chocolate.
But I say cocoa, so I've influenced you, I think.
Perhaps. Mm. Or something pumpkin spiced.
I love pumpkin spice. I know it can be a controversial flavoring, but I enjoy it.
What is it you like about pumpkin spice?
I like anything that I wouldn't normally get another time of the year. Sometimes it's not available. Sometimes it is, but you just don't. You know, I wouldn't want pumpkin spice in July necessarily.
Sure.
We're seasonal creatures, a lot of us. Humans and like Ayurvedic medicine sort of talks about, whether you practice it or not, talks about eating seasonally. In fact, you see that a lot. So I know pumpkin spice isn't really part of Ayurvedic medicine.
Although it would be great if it was.
Yeah. I mean, maybe nutmeg or clove or something would be. But just this idea that it's the time to have that thing. You know, for example, a primavera pasta, you always say, doesn't make sense in the fall.
Right. It's a spring pasta that has spring veggies in it, right? That's the key to it.
And we're so lucky that we can kind of order up anything at any time that it becomes all the more special when it's something you can only get for a month or two of the year.
Sure. Sure.
Yeah. So your perfect fall walk would be an apple, a sweater, and some crunchy leaves.
Followed by hot chocolate or cocoa, whatever you use. A walk with friends like we did. That was a lot of fun.
It's something fun I'm trying to incorporate, that when we want to be social, that we also move. Because I think I'm just noticing that I've become a bit more sedentary in my life. So I'm trying to find ways, and nature is so much more fun explored with friends.
Sure. And that's great any time of the year. Mm-hmm. So it doesn't have to stop at fall walks. You can do a winter walk or a spring walk, depending on how wet it is. You could jump in muddy puddles, as they do on Peppa Pig.
Yes.
And then a summer stroll, I guess.
Sure. Yeah. I mean, there's different ways to make it happen. But I think fall is such a perfect temperature for a walk. Because you have a bit of breeze.
Sure.
You can layer. You might get a bit warm, so you can take that poncho or scarf off and wrap it around your waist. Or, you know, it's that perfect breezy, you know, you're not in sandals, you're not sweaty.
Right.
You can wear some nice boots if you want and still be comfortable, but you're not, you know, geared up with 9 layers of flannel either. So there's something really lovely about that.
You could also walk in a pumpkin patch. We were at a pumpkin patch, and I'm going to put the video of us strolling through that pumpkin patch on our Patreon page for our patrons. You and I were at a pumpkin patch area, and we picked up some fall vegetables.
We did. Who doesn't love a beautiful farm stand?
Yeah.
And that goes back to what I was saying about pumpkin spice, you know, eating seasonally. I picked up whatever was there. So I got a bunch of beets.
Beetroot for our UK listeners.
A bunch of carrots. What else did I get? A big bag of corn, which we've enjoyed.
It's the last of the corn, they said.
So. Yeah, they were like, this is the last corn of the season. So we're really savoring it, I think. Yeah.
But we forgot to get the potatoes.
That's okay. Potatoes will be there all year. That's the thing about potatoes. You'll get them all year long because they keep.
But we certainly picked up quite a few squash, and this was the second picking of squash at that particular farm stand. So we have the Georgia sweet squash. We have the blue Hubbard. Blue Hubbard squash.
We have spaghetti squash.
We picked up a spaghetti squash.
Two spaghetti squash, actually.
We picked up two?
Yeah.
What was that little oblong football-sized?
That's a spaghetti squash.
Oh, that was a spaghetti
squash. Those are spaghetti squash, okay. Yeah. So they're called that because you scoop them out and they look like stringy spaghetti and you can kind of eat them like spaghetti or like a pasta.
Sure, my least favorite of the squash.
Are they?
Yeah, not my favorite.
Well, they can be delicious.
And then what's that like? We also picked up a white.
We got buttercup.
Buttercup squash.
And we almost got a butternut, which is probably the best known of the squashes. And then I think we decided to not get we got a buttercup instead because I thought a buttercup would look nice on our stoop.
Right.
So it would be nice and ornamental. And then when we're low on our groceries, I can pull it off the stoop and make a soup with it.
What's the white one we got?
That's a pumpkin. That's a white pumpkin.
And here's a trick that Amanda likes to do before we end our podcast.
And I don't know. I feel like root vegetables are called different things in the UK.
Sure.
Like you said, beetroot versus beets. We say beets. But I think with pumpkin and squash, they may have different names as well.
Sure.
I just wanted to point that out.
I don't think we do, but our UK listeners will certainly let us know because they're some of the most vocal listeners we have. They send me emails, which I love, by the way.
That's great.
Around Halloween, I will carve out the pumpkin, and
yes,
as I'm doing that, anything that I carve from the pumpkin, Amanda will then make a jack-o'-lantern soup as I'm getting ready. She'll just take the flesh and everything and make a soup out of it.
What we've done for the last 10 years is you carve it on the day, on Halloween day, you carve your jack-o'-lantern, you scoop it all out for me, I toast the seeds. I actually separate them from the flesh and then toast them. And while I'm doing that, I make a curried coconut pumpkin soup. And that takes a long time because pumpkin is a little bit tougher than your average squash, so it does take a little longer to simmer and to
cook.
It's
got some more fibrous nature to it.
Yeah, and so while the kids are coming to the door and trick-or-treating, I'm making this big soup. And it takes usually about 2 hours to make, and then... And then once the kids sort of die down around 9 or so,
sure,
then we sit down and enjoy it.
And that is our little stroll through our fall walk. I hope you enjoyed it.
Mm-hmm.
Let us know what you do on your fall walks and what you see. And if you have photos of trains near your house, we'd be open to putting that on our Instagram. So let us know as well.
Fall walks and traditions, we should say, because it's as much about fall traditions today as about walks.
100%. Amanda, thank you for taking us to Woodstock, New Brunswick, and to the little path by the train track near our home. Until next time, this is The Insomnia Project. I'm Marco Timpano.
I'm Amanda Barker.
And this episode was recorded by the train tracks in Toronto, Canada.